This morning we will be continuing with the series on faithful believers in the Old Testament that we should emulate today. And for the sermon today, we will be looking at David under the title, Believers Are Not Afraid of the Impossible. Believers are not afraid of the impossible. And our text for this morning will be 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 to 37. 1 Samuel 17, 32 to 37. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. And he has defiled, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Let us pray. This morning, Jehovah God, we come with open minds and open hearts. Master, speak, for your servants are listening. Speak in your power. Speak in living echoes of the tones of heaven. A message that will inspire us this morning. A message that will challenge us this morning. A message that will give us the boldness and the courage that we need as we face the vicissitudes of life. O Master, speak, for your servants are listening. Amen. My hope this morning is to engage in the exposition of the text that I just read. I believe that preaching must premise absolutely on the exposition of the text, because the words of a preacher, the points of a sermon, must not come from human knowledge, must not come from man, must not come from culture, must not come from philosophies. It must come from God and from God alone. The only place we go to hear God speak to us is his own word. Because man is like grass and his grace is like the flowers. The grass will eventually wither someday. The flowers will fall, but the word of God will not. So when we depend on him, on his word, as a church, we can be rest assured that we will keep on keeping on, because his word is eternal. But before I go into the exposition of this text, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 to 37, let me begin by giving you the immediate and surrounding context of the text. It is important for us to situate this text in context as we talk about facing the impossibilities in our church today, in our world today. It is important for us to understand our text in its context. If we go as far back as chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, the Bible talks about a significant battle that the Jews won over the Philistine in the battle called the Battle of Michmash. In this battle, the Jews humiliated the Philistines. And the Philistines were really afraid of the Jews because of that battle. In verse 15 of 1 Samuel chapter 14, here's what the Bible says concerning that. He says, there was fear among the Philistines in the field and among all the people. Even the soldiers shook with fear. God used the Jewish army to intimidate the Philistines. Both soldiers and non-soldiers were afraid of the Jews. And for a while, the Philistines lived in fear of the Jews because they knew that the Jews had a great God who supported them in battle. But subsequently, the news actually reached the Philistines that King Saul was no longer being supported by God because the prophet Samuel had discredited him. The prophet Samuel had forsaken King Saul because of the atrocities that King Saul was doing. And when the Philistines heard that God was no longer favoring the king of the Jews, they saw this as a great opportunity to take their revenge, especially at the way in which the Jewish army intimidated and humiliated them at Michmash. And so they gathered their armies together and they were ready for battle in a valley called the Valley of Elah. And while they were in that battle, they came stronger than ever before. Their armies was more intimidating than the Jewish army. And not only that, suddenly a great giant from the Philistine army in the person of Goliath stepped forth and challenged the Jewish army to fight a duel with him. And here's what Goliath said. He said, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man from yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And so by this, the Bible says Goliath defiled the armies of the living God. And he intimidated them. And day in, day out, he kept throwing this challenge at them, asking if anyone was worthy enough to stand and fight him. But no one had the courage to face Goliath. No one had the courage to face Goliath because Goliath was an intimidating man by every standard. The Bible goes on to give us the details of who Goliath was, his look, his physique. In terms of his height, the Bible says he was 6 cubits and a span. That is 9 foot 9 inches tall. How often do you see a human being who is 9 foot 9 inches tall? That is intimidating just by that. Not only was he 9 foot 9 inches tall, what he had on him was intimidating. The Bible says he was armed with a coat of mail. That is a coat that is made with metal rings. And this coat weighed 5,000 shekels. And that is 125 pounds. For those of you who go to the gym, How often do you go to the gym and lift weight that is 125 pounds? Imagine that's what, that was the coat that he was wearing. That's how heavy it was. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear, the head of his spear, weighed 600 shekels. That's about 15 pounds. So he was really tall, huge, and intimidating. And he kept defiling the armies of the Lord. Are you not the servants of Saul? Who would dare me? And all the Egyptian, the Israelites in the battlefield could not face him. Except one person. A young man called David. David was not considered a soldier because of his youth. He was only in the battlefield because his father, Jesse, had instructed him to take some provisions to his brothers who were in battle. But when David heard how this Philistine was defiling the armies of the Lord day in, day out, he felt something had to be done. And he decided to restore the honor and the pride and the faith of his people by taking on Goliath. And so in our text in verse 32, he makes his intention known to the king. He went to the king and said, King Saul, I can't take this no more. If no real soldier will stand up and fight, I am going to stand up and fight, because I'm not going to let this uncircumcised Philistine keep taunting God's army, keep defiling God's army. I'm going to do something. And in verse 33, King Saul said, no, I can't let you do that. For two reasons. The text gives us two reasons why King Saul discredited David's request to fight Goliath. First, he said, you are but a youth. In other words, you are young. You are not even up to a military age. If able-bodied men in Israel and don't have the courage to stand and fight, you are too young. I can't let you do that. The second reason he gave, he said, Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. So, I'm not going to let you go against Goliath, not only because you are young, because you are facing a giant, a warrior who has been a soldier from his youth. He has the experience. He has the know-how. So I just cannot let you do this. But in verses 34 to 36, David convinced Saul why he shouldn't be worried about him. Why he believes that he is the right guy to face this giant and defeat him. And so David gives two reasons in verses 34 to 36 that justify why he believes that he's able to take on Goliath, even though he was such an intimidating man. First, he gave his experience as a warrior. David said while he was keeping watch over his father's sheep, whenever the sheep was attacked by a lion or by a bear, David would go after that lion or the bear and kill it and rescue the lamb from it. And he says if he was brave enough to face lions, wild animals like lions and bears, he surely will face Goliath, no matter how intimidating he is. So his first reason is because of his experience as a brave warrior. The second reason he advanced in the text is his trust in God. Even though David said he was a brave warrior and that he fought lions and bears and prevailed, he recognized that the reason why he prevailed really was not because he was strong or he was powerful. It was because God was with him. And so he says here in the text, If God was the one who delivered me from the lion, God was the one who delivered me from the bears. So if God has delivered me from dangerous situations like that, from situations that seem impossible, what about this one? There is no reason for me to doubt the faithfulness of God now, because I have a history of God's faithfulness in my life. God always come through for me when the going gets tough. God always come through for me when my strength is failing. So I believe that as I face this Goliath, the same God who has been faithful to me and who has been helping me, He will surely help me, deliver me from this giant. So don't be worried about me. So even though David felt he was a brave warrior, what really inspired David to go after Goliath was his trust and his faith in the Lord. He went after Goliath not as a brave warrior. He went after Goliath as in the name of the Lord. He used the name of the Lord. He used the power of God and the identity of God as his weapon as he faced Goliath. And by the help of God, as we read further in the text, we see that David prevailed over Goliath with a sling and a stone. He didn't have to use a sword. He did not have to use a spear. All he needed was just a stone and a slung and a sling, and he used that to defeat Goliath. How? He slung the stone right to Goliath's forehead. And when the stone hit him, it sunk into the head, into his head, and Goliath fell with his face down. And immediately the Bible tells us David got to him and David struck him and David killed him. When we look at this story, we see that there are some things that really were impossible. The impossibilities in this story is two things actually that I want to point out as the impossibilities in this story. First, that a boy like David, who was not even up to the age to be a soldier, would be bold and brave enough to face such a giant. A giant that was 9 feet 9 inches tall. A giant who wore a coat that weighed 125 pounds. A giant whose spear alone weighed 15 pounds. Yet, a young boy was bold and brave enough to face him. That's an impossible task that was made possible. The other impossibility here is that a valiant warrior, a man who has been in warfare right from his youth, powerful and strong as he was not defeated by a sword or by a spear. He was defeated by just a sling and a stone. How can just a sling and a stone defeat such a great warrior? There's only one possible explanation which we have as men of faith. It was the hand of God. So why did David prevail? He did not prevail because of what he could do. He prevailed because of what God could do. David had confidence in what God could do through him. And he went against Goliath because of that confidence. So when we look at David, and we understand the courage in which he has, The lesson we can really take out of this passage, which will very well pass as my message to you this morning, is this. Just like David, faithful believers are men and women who are not afraid of the impossible. They are not afraid of the impossible not because of what they can do, but because of what God can do through them. Just as God could use little David to defeat Goliath, something that was impossible, God can use even you to do something that is impossible. God can use even you, regardless of your education background, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your nationality, or regardless of your financial status. God can use even you. Because you see, God does not always use the qualified who are qualified in their own terms and in their own rights. God always qualifies those he uses. So even you can be used by God. So because God can use you, God can empower you and use you for his glory, we don't have to be afraid of the impossible. It doesn't matter what you can do or what you cannot do. If we can just put our trust in God, if we can rely on his promises and his strength, the impossible will be made possible. So don't be afraid of the impossible things. Don't let the impossibilities in our church, don't let the impossibilities in your life, in our community, in our society, scare us away from being bold. The Bible says the unrighteous runs when nothing pursues them. But the righteous are what? They are as bold as a lion. Let's learn from David to be men and women of God who are bold. How did David show boldness? If we look at verses 41 to 47 of our text, of our chapter, which we are looking at today, we see that David showed great courage when he faced Goliath. The Bible tells us that when he appeared in the battlefield, Goliath was expecting perhaps the best from Israel, a man who could be probably as tall as he was, as experienced as he was, but no, a little boy walks into the fighting arena. And Goliath looked at him and said, "Am I a dog that you will come with me with sticks?" And the Bible said Goliath cursed David by his gods. But David looked at Goliath, a little tiny boy speaking to this mighty giant. He looked at Goliath, and here's what he said. He said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." He said, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the beast in the wild. And all earth will know that there is God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord saves his faithful ones. And he does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. What courageous words from a man of faith. Where could a young man like that get this courage from? Where could he get these words from? It's because he had confidence in God. You see, when we believe in the God that we serve, when we are faced with challenging circumstances, when we are faced with terrorizing circumstances, our faith will speak. And that's why the songwriter said, faith speaks through times of sorrow. We could see David's faith clearly expressed in his words. One of the ways in which we express our faithfulness in God is by what we say when the going gets tough. There are quite a few other individuals in Scripture who, when faced with seemingly impossible circumstances, they spoke like David. They expressed their faith in God and spoke against the circumstances that they faced. Another good example is Moses. When Moses was faced in front of him, there was the Red Sea. Behind him, there was an approaching Egyptian army that was coming, approaching with the intent to annihilate. Moses demonstrated his trust in God. He told the Israelites, he said, "Stand firm and see what the Lord will do. The Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more." At that moment, Moses had no idea what God was going to do, but Moses just believed. You see, when you are a child of God and you are a man of faith, you are a woman of faith, you may not know what God is going to do, but you know that he's going to do it. Stand firm, my people, and see what the Lord will do. This enemy you see approaching, you shall see them no more. I don't know what God will do. I don't know what God plans to do, but I know that God will do something. Job was another example. When he was smitten by the devil, he lifted up his voice and he said, "I know that my Redeemer lives. Though he slays me, yet I will serve him." Those are the words of a man who will approach trouble with hope and trust in God. When David was attacked by his enemies, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When he was passing through dangerous territories, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." When he felt hopeless, he said, "I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. For my help comes from the Lord who maketh the heavens and the earth." When the apostle Paul suffered suffering and torture for his faith, he said, "I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Looking at David, and looking at faithful men and men in the Bible, we see that the best way to approach an impossible situation is to put our trust in God. The question is, as God's people today in Glen Burnie Baptist Church, do we really believe in God? What does God mean to you as a church? Do you really know the God that you have believed? Do you believe that God is able to deliver you from every trouble? Do you believe that God can still come into your home and turn things around? Do you believe that God can still provide you with that healing that you've been trusting him for? Do you know the God that you have believed? This morning I want to encourage you. Put your trust in God. And express your trust in God by your faith. Put your trust in God because he is able to keep you in his name. Our God is able to provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Our God is able to make a way for us where there seems to be no way. Our God is able to turn our sorrows into joy. Our God is able to make sense out of the nonsense of our lives, out of the nonsense of our church, out of the nonsense of our society. He's able to do that. He's able to give us victory over our enemies. Our God is able to lift us up from the dunghill and to establish us in high places. So, beloved, let us put our trust in God because he can make the impossible possible. God is able to make the impossible possible. What are the impossible things that we can think of about our church? The things that we would desire to see this church be, and we think it's impossible. We serve a God that can make the impossible possible. What are the things that are currently going on in your marriage that you feel that are impossible for them to be addressed? What are the things that are going on with your children that you think it's impossible? God can make the impossible possible. So receive the boldness. Receive the courage like David. And like all the faithful men and women in the Bible. And approach the impossible with with hope that God can make the impossible possible. As you reflect on this sermon this morning, I'd like to ask you to take this moment and ask God to strengthen your faith. Like the man in the Gospels, he came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, I believe, but I need your help. Help my unbelief." You might be like that individual this morning. You believe God, but you need God to help your unbelief that this church can be revived and be revitalized. You believe God, but you need God to help your unbelief that your marriage can come back to life. You believe God, but you still need God to help your unbelief that your son or that your daughter who abandoned the faith, God can still touch his heart. God can still touch her heart and turn things around. As you take this moment in meditation of the sermon, I want you to tell God this. Tell God, "I know not what the future holds. I know not what the future holds for my church. I know not what the future holds for my family. I know not what the future holds for my children or for my community. I know not what you have planned for us as a church. I know not what you have planned for us as a family. I know not what you have planned for me. But one thing I do know is I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep us. May my hope in you bring about mighty things in our church, in my life, and in my family." Maybe someone here this morning, you are going through a very challenging family crisis. And you're not sure what the future holds for your family. It's like everything is sliding downhill. Take this moment and say, "Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is faithful, that he is able to keep us." You might be here this morning and you're going through a rough season in your career. Perhaps you probably will be laid off, or the signs are everywhere and you don't know what to do. Go to God this time and say, "Lord, I know not what the future holds, but I am persuaded that you will keep me and my family." Looking around our church, we see men and women who are faithful. We see empty seats. Go to God and say, "Lord, I know not what you have for us in the future, but I am persuaded that you are faithful and you will keep us." That's what God does. God keeps his own. The Bible says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from falling." God keeps his church from falling. God keeps his beloved from falling. Go to God this moment and say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But I believe that you will deliver us. For many may be the afflictions of the righteous, for the Lord will deliver him from all of them."
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him, or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Let's rise. As we continue to reflect on this sermon that has challenged us to face our fears with courage, knowing that we serve a God who is able to keep us, I'd like to pray for someone. You are here this morning and you are just going through a rough time. Maybe you are like the Israeli army. There is a Goliath that is defiling you, that is challenging you, that is intimidating you, and you are just afraid. But you need that courage, like David, to face this challenge in the name of the Lord. I'd like to pray for you before we go. I'd like to pray for you. I'm just going to do something different today. If you are here and you just need God to help you, you're going through something, you don't know how you will go through it unless God steps in and help you, would you please just come forward and we're going to pray for you as we leave today. God is able to deliver you from all things. Many may be the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you from all of them. And this morning, you want that strength. We'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. You are there and you don't feel like coming, but your heart is burdened. You just need prayer for what you are going through. And you need God to give you that boldness that you need to face that issue at your place of work, to face that your child, to face that your family member, to face that your neighbor. Today, God is going to give you that boldness. God is going to give you that courage. Or maybe the courage you need to respond to what God has been calling you to do, to serve in a certain role, in a certain position in the church, but you are afraid, you are unsure. God will give you that boldness, because faithful believers face the impossible because they believe in God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you move in our church this hour. A Empower our people, O Lord. Give them the boldness that we need. We all need boldness. Give us the courage that we need, O Lord, to face our fears, to face that which challenges us from being what you've called us to be. Right now, Jehovah God, help your people. Like the man in the gospel, we're saying, we believe that you can deliver us. We just need you to help us truly believe. So thank you for imparting in our lives this afternoon your power, your spirit, and the courage we need to serve you faithfully in our church, in our homes, in our communities, and in our nation. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the mighty throne of God, be all glory, dominion, and power. As you go, go in peace and serve. Amen.
Crush the inner